God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Said to the disciples, if another member of the church sins against you, go out and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two or more of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. A florist received a message on his answering machine asking that a floral arrangement be made for a funeral. And the person making the call said, make the ribbon extra wide. And they said, what I want on it is rest in peace. And then he said, if there is room, put we will meet in heaven. Oh, if there is room, he said, put we will meet in heaven. Well, you can guess what happened. The person who transcribed it had on the ribbon, rest in peace. If there's room, we'll meet in heaven. Well, I have good news for you. There's plenty of room in heaven. The problem is not the space in heaven or that God doesn't want you in heaven because he's already preparing a place for you. The problem is us. We separate ourselves from God. We are the ones who forget that it's not a one-time thing. How many people know of other people who have joined the church and then that's the last time you see them? Or they're confirmed and they think, oh, that's graduation. I don't have to study the Bible. I don't have to go to church. I don't do anything anymore. Huh? Yeah. Wow. Remember the movie Karate Kid? It's been years since I've seen it, but I remember there's this character, Daniel, who is a teenager, moves to a different town, and then he's confronted by some bullies. And after being beaten up and having his bike wrecked, he meets Mr. Miyagi, his neighbor, who knows karate. And he wants him to teach him karate, and he said, okay. So he gives him these seemingly useless and repetitive things to do, like painting a fence, painting this way, painting that way, painting this way, painting that way, polishing things, and standing on one foot doing something, and doing all these things, and he is almost at the point of giving it up and saying, this is ridiculous, I'm not learning karate. But then he is confronted by the bullies again, and all at once, all of these things that he had been practicing came into play, and he was able to defeat his enemies. Wow. A good example for all of us as we realize that the things that we have been learning over and over again, God is calling us to, not just to be repetitive, but to learn how things work. A POW, I've mentioned this before, I think I met in Kansas City with a youth event. He spoke to our group, he said he had been a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And they were stuck in these little bamboo cages that were too small to stand up, to lay down. It was just a horrible thing. And they couldn't talk to one another, even though there were, I don't remember how many people he said were in this compound. And if they did speak, they got beaten with bamboo rods. And he said, not being able to speak was horrible. And then they discovered that they all knew Morse code. And they began to tap out messages in Morse code, and they began to share scripture that they had learned as children, scripture that they had learned in confirmation class that they hated. They hated memorizing parts of the catechism, but all of these things came to mind, and they were able to share them. And he said, that's what saved their minds. I learned the hard way that repetition sometimes is the best way of learning something. But, and I was learning to fly a plane. My instructor had me doing what they call touch and goes. It's where you come in for a landing. When the wheels touch down, you shove the throttle in and you take off again. And you circle the field and come back in at the right altitude. Come in for another landing. Over and over again, I think I don't know how many days I spent, hour after hour, doing touch and goes. But there's another one that he had me doing, and it's called a stall. And that's where you get the plane to a certain elevation, and then you pull back on the throttle to the point where the plane starts to fall backwards. That's a stall. And then you have to start it up again. He was telling me that if you do that at the wrong time and too fast, it can cause the plane to literally flip and plow you into the ground. So it's there was a practice, and that's again another one of those things I did over and over again, and I thought, what a waste of time. And then one day, my plane actually did stall. And all of the things that he taught me came to play. And quite obviously, you can tell that I didn't crash land and die. At least I don't think I did. I think I'm still alive. Most of the time I feel like I'm alive. But that's part of what it means to be actually a Christian who practices what he has learned through all of those ages. It's what the prophet Isaiah, in today's reading, we have Ezekiel reminding the people and warning the people that if they don't change their ways, they're going to end up in exile. Well, the rest of the story comes out in Isaiah where they did end up in exile. And now Isaiah is writing to those POWs in exile and telling them to return to the Lord, to pay attention to what the Lord is teaching them. Because he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My way is higher than your way. I discovered the truth of that this week, this last week. This road between here and Tensley, there is a hairpin curve on that. Most of us have done it. It's one that you don't take at 65 miles an hour. But right before you get to that real sharp turn, there's a little turnoff where, and I actually got out of the car and looked down. And looking down, you can see the hairpin curve as it gets down to the bottom. But when you come up, all you see is this steep mountain. And you wonder, how in the world am I going to get up there? But but looking down, you can see the path. Well, think of God as being high on this mountain, looking down upon us. And most of us are looking up and thinking, man, how are we ever going to get to heaven? Is there ever really room up there? But God knows the path that we need to take. And he calls us to that path through the prophets and through the apostles, like Paul, who tells us today that the true path isn't through the law, but through love. Love God, love one another. That is the fulfillment of all the law. And if there is anything that separates us from God, it's sin. And he calls us back from sin. And he says, if anything separates you from one another or from God, come together and learn what it means to love with all your heart, your mind, and your soul the Lord God, who calls you from the darkness and into the light. Remember those days when we had Christmas lights that were in series? You know, if one little light was not turned in properly, or if it was dead, nothing would light up. One family was telling me about their Christmas tradition. I thought it was kind of neat. They had one of those series of lights on their tree, and they had taken out, let each kid take one light, their favorite color light, out. And then on Christmas Eve, they would sit around the tree, and each one, in turn, would turn in their light. And after, as they were doing that, they were supposed to say what they were thankful for that year. And then they would conclude that with, "Thank you, Jesus." And they would go sit down. The next kid would get up and plug in his light. One year, they said, it didn't work quite as well. The youngest was really ticked off about something. He just sat there and pouted. Well, until he plugged his light in, the lights wouldn't turn on. So the person who had really irked him finally went over to him and said, "I'm sorry, Jim. I shouldn't have done that. Plug your light in, please." And finally he said, "Okay." So he plugged his light in and he said, "I'm thankful that my brother finally admitted he was wrong. Thank you, Jesus." And he went and sat down. The light brought all the lights on. They sang the carol they normally would sing at Christmas. And then they were able to open their gifts. What a gift it is. What God calls us to is not the darkness, but to the light. Let your light shine for all to see, serving both friend and enemy. As he died for us, let us live for him and serve him eternally. That's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.